Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. One of the most costly bills a family can rack up? Childcare. Many parents would probably give a kidney in exchange for cheaper childcare. And as other expenses have gone up in recent years, like housing, groceries, and property taxes, nothing's increased at a faster rate than the cost of childcare. According to a new investigation, Illinois pumps hundreds of millions of dollars a year into childcare programs, but the state can be so strict about who's eligible for them that tens of thousands of families cannot get the help they need to care for their kids. So to dive into the investigation, we sat down with Meredith Newman, a statewide investigative reporter for the Illinois Answers Project. We also heard from WBEZ listeners. I started by asking Meredith how heavily childcare weighs on families.
So this was part of our larger series called Making It in Chicago, where me and other colleagues looked into different factors of what's holding folks back in the Chicagoland area. And my colleague, Madison Hopkins, and I decided to hone in on childcare costs. And what we found across the socioeconomic spectrum is that childcare costs are incredibly burdensome for families. Of course, that plays out in different ways. Mm-hmm. But as a result, families are having to make sacrifices in terms of if they want to buy a house, expand their family, even maybe get a raise at a job or leave for a better opportunity. So we specifically looked into the Child Care Assistance Program, which is the largest child care subsidy in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And, otherwise known as CCAP.
Right. And so we found that it really helps those who can qualify, but we found that Illinois has stricter eligibility requirements than other states and federal recommendations, which keeps tens of thousands of kids from being eligible.
And we'll dig into that because that is a serious problem here. I'm taking a look at your article that's online at Illinois Answers. .org, and it's stark just looking at a graph that you have near the top called the skyrocketing costs of childcare. Rightfully so, right? How much is childcare costing the average family?
It depends on the family and the area. In Cook County, it's going to be more expensive than mm-hmm. in other parts of the state. I mean, one number that jumps out to me is I talked to a working mom of soon to be three in the Lamont area, and she said, I just got a quote for $54,000.
Per month?
A year.
I want to be clear.
Yeah, a year. But still, I mean, that was like a quarter of her and her husband's overall income.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it's across the board. But yeah, child care costs in the country have increased at a faster rate, like you mentioned, and are exceeding people's mortgages regularly.
Mm-hmm. Now, you started to get into this a little bit, Meredith, but there are some state programs available to help families. Illinois, as I mentioned earlier, it allocates hundreds of millions of dollars every year for childcare programs. So I think the question then is, why isn't that enough to meet the need?
Well, it's complicated. I mean, with the Child Care Assistance Program, like I said, it seems to be effective for those who qualify. But
eligibility is a question.
Right. And so the funding comes from different aspects. But something that was pointed out to us by IDHS, which oversees the program, the Illinois Department of Human Services, is that expanding eligibility could create a wait list, which means that families that need the program might not be able to get it as quickly as they currently could. So that's something to keep in mind. Also important to point out that Governor Pritzker has done a lot to invest in early childhood education. Nearly every provider and advocate I spoke to was very complimentary about him in terms of just caring more so than what they felt other governors did.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, it's incredibly hard to run a childcare business. And like we talked about, it's hard for parents to find it and secure it.
Yeah. Well, we got a call this morning from a listener who's a mom of three, and she said that her and her husband wanted six kids, but they stopped at three. And she says it's more than just childcare. It's about quality of life. Let's listen.
Everything costs money, literally. Cheerleading, summer camps, even at the park district, it could be so expensive. Three pair of shoes now, three cell phones, three tablets, three children wanting to take summer camp and dance experiences, and everything is privatized now. And asking people to have children and then just thinking about basic things is not talking about quality of life. I think we've reached a point where more than two children is unattainable.
Ooh, I felt like she was preaching to me there, because I've been roaming around for the last 18 years talking about how I've got to, you know, buy two of this and two of that. And so she's talking about three, which is even more, Meredith. What did you hear as far as stories from the folks that you talked to, Meredith? How are they making those financial decisions as they weigh this burden?
Yeah, this was the case for families, like I said, across the socioeconomic spectrum. I mean, the biggest thing was not being able to save for their kids' future. There's a statistic that always just like makes me stop in my tracks of, in Illinois, it costs parents more money to send their kids, their infants to daycare than their young adult to a state university, mm-hmm. which I think puts things in perspective. So not being able to save for the future, not being able to buy a house, not being able to invest in their family that way. And then also the stuff that might come across as frivolous, but I think is still important, like family vacations, family experiences, like the number of times I heard, like, we'd really like to go to Disney World. Obviously that, you know, is not the highest.
I never got to do that either.
Right. It's not the highest of priorities, but it's still important to families. But then also, you know, I talked to one single mom of three kids, two of whom are younger, and she worked the overnight shift at a fast food restaurant. And mm-hmm. she said due to her inability to secure overnight childcare, she had to switch hours, which was more competitive during the day, which meant a smaller paycheck. And so it plays out into a lot of different ways. And unfortunately, for lower income families, it's incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Aside from state programs, we've got CCAP, as you mentioned, that's the childcare assistant program. Again, as much as, you know, we're getting millions pumped into these, the bottom line here is that it's still not enough to help Illinois families. We got a problem with strict income requirements, but also there's a job requirement.
Yeah, this is an interesting aspect. At one point, a couple years ago, the state got rid of this benefit to families if parents were looking for a job or seeking an education experience, they would be able to have a few months covered. But unfortunately, due to COVID, funds, you know, going away, according to IDHS officials, they had to get rid of that. So parents are required to have a job or show a form of income, which can be really challenging because it creates a vicious cycle for some parents who told me that, well, in order to find a job, I need childcare, and in mm-hmm. order to afford childcare, I need a job. And so I talked to one foster mom, and she lives in Central Illinois, but she gave me this great quote that I think about a lot, is like, you can get a pre-approved for a home. Why can't you get pre-approved for childcare? Mm. Which I think is a really great point.
That's a great point. Never thought about it like that.
So yeah, and again, you know, the state points to just the expiration of COVID funding, but they said that benefit helped about 8,000 families or so. So it was a significant number.
Let's hear from Dave in Highwood. Hey, Dave, welcome to Reset.
Hey, Sasha, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, putting your career on hold is another impact of the expense with childcare. Mm-hmm. You know, paying $2,200 a child and then taking yourself out of the career field, and then having that gap in your resume, it makes it a lot harder. So your kid turns 5, 6, and all of a sudden you have this big gap in your resume, and you're less desirable for hiring.
Yeah. Is that something that happened to you, Dave?
My wife, actually, you know, she took herself out of the career force so that she could raise our two kids. We have a 5 and a 3-year-old, and thank goodness he's going to kindergarten. So that's going to take a little bit of the after school financial burden off of us. But at the same time, you know, now she's searching for jobs, and with the state of the economy and the volatility of the market, it's really hard
for her.
She's got to
pay a different cost. Yeah. Wow. That's tough. And that is such a reality. Thank you for sharing your story, Dave. Let's hear now from Rosie in University Village. Hi, Rosie. Welcome to Reset.
Hi. Yeah, I'm calling to talk about childcare. Yeah. I'm from the Six Flags suburbs, Gurnee, and when my daughter and I moved to Chicago, I was completely unable to find anything until I found one, and then I immediately had to register for two college classes to get Action for Children. And it brought the price from like $1,700 to $297 a month, Ooh. Which was still hard, but mm-hmm. a lot more manageable.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. Rosie and Dave are sharing pretty common stories, aren't they, Meredith?
Yeah, absolutely. I think about there was a University of Chicago study that looked at CCAP, and something that really shocked me was they found that if a parent was to get a small raise from $54,000 to $55,000, they technically wouldn't be able to qualify for CCAP anymore, mm-hmm. which would throw them off this financial cliff. And so yes. I think, you know, obviously, like Dave mentioned, in terms of putting career
leaving your job.
I mean, there have been, we've read reports of parents not accepting raises because it could lead to a domino effect of maybe if they qualified for CCAP and then they got a raise yes. where they're no longer in that income threshold, you know, the cost could be catastrophic in some cases.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. When you all sought out yourself and your colleague Madison Hopkins, when you sought out to do this reporting, I mean, what did you think you would find? Was there something that you were surprised about along the way?
That's a good question. Two things come to mind. I think, you know, we were expecting to hear hardship from specifically parents that had low income jobs. And of course, we did hear that.
Yeah.
But to hear it across the spectrum again, and it plays out in different ways, was really surprising. I think also just like how desperate people were to talk about it. I definitely got the sense from, I talked to a lot of mothers specifically, and I just got the sense that this was like the first time they were really talking about the cost and the burden. Even finding childcare is extremely difficult, even if you can maybe afford it. So that was something else that's just stayed with me in terms of, I feel like people this is something that affects everyday lives, but maybe they hadn't talked about it as much as they needed to.
Yeah. We still got some folks online that want to talk with us about this topic. Brian in South Shore is next up. Hey, Brian, what's your childcare situation looking like?
Okay, my childcare situation, there are a lot of childcare facilities around here.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a problem. I do have a concern, though. I mean, why are parents having children when they aren't going to be able to afford to take care of them and raise them? Why would the rest of the population be expected to pay for raising their children?
So you bring up a point that I've heard before. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate your call. Sort of the flip side of this, you know, if you're aware that this is the situation, it hasn't changed for some time, why have children? Did you come across some answers for this or even just arguments for the government to pay for childcare in your reporting?
Yeah, not candidly, not too much. I definitely talked to parents, and Madison, my coworker, talked to parents who weren't going to be able to have as many children as maybe they and their partner had hoped for. There are so many studies that show the value of early childhood education mm-hmm. and how, you know, not having those opportunities or quality early childhood education could set children back, which then has a ripple effect that, yeah. you know, we're all aware of. So,
and there are so many reasons for having children.
Totally.
That outweigh the costs, right? And so families are open and have the right to make those decisions as they see fit.
Right. And, you know, also the cost now isn't the same as 20 years ago. And so I think, you know, people don't understand the true cost of childcare until they're in a position to seek it out.
Yeah.
So I think that's also an aspect of things.
There's a section in your story, Meredith, that talks about the system running on the back, quote, on the backs of childcare providers. Talk more about the providers involved here, because, you know, when you think about the high cost, as a parent, like from the parent lens, I'm also thinking about the people that I was able to drop my kids off to day in and day out for hours at a time who weren't paid very well to do this work and how valuable this is.
Yeah, totally. I mean, going back to your earlier question, that was also something that jumped out to me in terms of realizing how expensive it is to run a childcare business. Mm-hmm. And nearly every provider I talked to said, like, I didn't go into this field for the money, but at the same time, like, I am a business. And so it's a hard balancing act. For many providers, specifically in Chicago, CCAP is an essential source of income and they depend on it. And for specifically centers, the reimbursement rate can be lower than what they say is the actual true cost of care. And there's so many costs that go into running a business. It's food, insurance, of course, staff salary, and even more than I'm not even naming. And so, so that's been a really difficult aspect for providers. We found in our reporting, I believe about 60% of providers have dropped, I think in the last decade, if I'm getting that right.
How did the pandemic affect things?
Yeah, so it affected everything, including childcare. I talked to one provider who, or former provider, I should say, closed down a couple years ago. The center was started by her mother 30 years prior, and you know, she inherited it. And she said at a certain point she just couldn't go through it anymore. It was really difficult following the pandemic when people started to return back to schools. The enrollment was down. She said before the pandemic, she cared about for 30 kids. And then when things started getting back to normal, it was about 5, which is obviously significant. Staff wasn't coming back. She had a hard time finding quality staff. And so, and also CCAP payments too. Something else that I heard a lot from providers is that getting CCAP payments, they fall a month behind. So if you submitted everything in for the month of January, you wouldn't get that money for till February, just as an example.
Oh, okay.
And so providers that I talked to were like, but my bills are still due.
Right, exactly.
They don't run
the
a month
behind. The first of the month is still coming around.
Right, and so, you know, we got a lot of, we were through the Freedom of Information Act request, we're able to see complaints and emails from providers being like, I need this money to come quickly. My landlord's going to turn off the lights. And so I think that also just adds another pressure point for providers.
Absolutely. Let's hear from a couple more callers who are eager to join the conversation. First up, Jim in Downers Grove. Hey, Jim, what's your comment?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for talking about this important topic.
Absolutely.
So I have 4 kids, and I have 2 that are in childcare full-time. And I want to talk about the dependent care flexible spending accounts. So right now the limit on that is $5,000. And I believe that hasn't been raised since the mid-1980s.
Oh, wow.
So my argument is that should really be increased because of how much people are spending on childcare nowadays.
Yeah, dependent care, flex pay. Yeah, that's... an interesting point. I did not know that 5,000 was the cap. Did you, Meredith?
Candidly, I don't know much about that, but I'm going to take note for maybe future stories down the line.
And not having raised that since the 80s, Jim, you raise a great point because that's like, hello? Have we not seen what's happened with inflation? Boy, let's jump to another caller. Here's Deanna in Oak Park. Hi, welcome to Reset.
Hi. Yeah. So I have a 3- and 4-year-old, both in daycare, and our costs exceed our mortgage, and then add medical bills on top of that. So RSV 2 times in the hospital the past 2 years.
Ooh.
That adds a level of marital stress that I think it can't be talked about enough.
Mm.
The stress on just how do we make all of this work?
Mm-hmm.
How do we pay our bills without going into significant debt?
Yeah.
Our worst fights have been over this.
Yeah, I can only imagine, Deanna. Did you come to a point where you sort of recognized, and this may have been hard in real time, but did you sort of recognize that, okay, this is, we're fighting about the problem here, like it's the money, it's not each other, like, or were you still sort of pointing the finger and letting the problem sort of consume you?
At some point in time, we recognized what the problem was. We had to just leave and let go, and I had to assign my husband all conversations with insurance companies because it just infuriated me so much. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and then also just having to wait till that tax refund to try to break even again. Mm-hmm. It just makes it so much harder on the family as a whole.
Yeah.
To be happy when you have these great little people. And
that's the thing.
Here it brings so much stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I appreciate your call, Deanna. She brings up such a great point, right? Is the stress that comes with when you look around and you just don't have it. You just don't have it this month to pay for all of the things that you need. And you've got these tiny little human beings that didn't ask to be here, right? As my kids would say sometimes, tongue in cheek, but they're just living life and you're trying to pull it all together. Did you hear some folks talk about just what that did to them, like just mentally and just, you know, in their marriages even?
Yeah, a lot. There was one Evanston mom that I talked to, and she made a remark of like, you know, she and her wife had good jobs together. They made over $200,000. They kind of exceeded the middle class, blue collar families that they were raised in, and everything looked great on paper. Mm-hmm. And she was like, but we're struggling. Our house needs to be fixed in certain areas. We don't have the much disposable income. If one, you know, medical event like the last caller mentioned, like it could be catastrophic potentially. And so I think, especially I imagine for a lot of millennial parents, like they are struggling in maybe ways that their own parents can't identify with, because everything on paper looks great, advanced degree, good job. But at the end of the day, like they're having the bills are coming and it's incredibly stressful.
It's overwhelming, that's for sure. Let's hear from one more caller. This is Allison in St. Charles. Hey, Allison, what are your thoughts?
Oh, good afternoon, and thank you for having this important conversation.
Sure.
My husband and I dreamed of having two kids, but to afford our modest home's mortgage, we only have one child because we had to choose between having two children or having one of us stay home, but then we wouldn't have enough to pay our mortgage. So we're very lucky to have one happy, healthy kiddo.
Yes.
And I would like to say that it's heartbreaking because when we did the math on childcare, it is very high, you know, often exceeding mortgages. But when you do the breakdown for staff, it often comes down to staff at many of these childcare facilities making minimum wage, which I mean, we want them to be well paid because they're keeping our children happy and healthy, but we also can't afford it.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd like to bring up is that this isn't just childcare pre-K. In elementary school, for example, the elementary school day in our area is 9 a.m. to 3:20 p.m.
Yep, after school.
If you work 9 to 5, we have to pay the park district for before school care and after school care, which, you know, it continues to be a struggle.
That was the biggest pain in my side when my kids were younger. Thank you so much, Allison. You raised some great points. And Allison brings it back to our voicemail that we played for you earlier with that family that wanted 6, chose to do 3. Allison's family wanted 2, chose to just go with one child. I will mention as we wrap here that we also had a couple of callers that we didn't have time to get to. They wanted to respond to an earlier caller in the program, Brian, who questioned whether the government should be paying for childcare. Val in North Lawndale and Jim in Munster, Indiana, said that because this is about the future of our country. So we'll leave it there. Our guest in studio, Meredith Newman, is a statewide investigative reporter for the Illinois Answers Project. You can read Meredith and her colleague Madison Hopkins reporting at illinoisanswers.org. And again, a special thank you to all of you who phoned in today. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset brings nuance to your news cycle. If you like what you hear, consider leaving us a rating and liking this podcast. It also helps us share these stories with more people in and around the city. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.